Hey, did you hear? The school has a radio.
What you talking about, dearie?
Only 90.9. They play bangers only.
Ah, indubitably.
Only 90.9 FM Oneonta. Keep it locked in, people.
For my interview, I decided to make my topic about senior year in college, as well as how it's been affected due to the pandemic.
So now that I am a senior in college, I would tell my freshman self to eat healthy, go to sleep at normal times.
When you have a roommate that you don't like, you have to make the best of it. Instead of try to burn bridges, you got to try to fix them and be friendly with them.
To join more clubs and make friends. That way I add more to add to my resume.
Don't pick the school just for the name of it and for the prestige that it is. Rather, to make yourself happier and be with your own friends. So I definitely would have started out at Oneonta to begin with.
I think it's super important to look for and take classes that you enjoy. After Oneonta, I actually transferred to UAlbany, so I'm currently taking classes that I love, and I think they teach me more than just the core information that most colleges offer.
I wouldn't change anything in the last 4 years because things happened for a reason, and I was supposed to do the things that I did and meet the people I met.
I would change the amount of effort I put into my classes, and I would have tried harder to get a better grade, so my GPA would be higher.
It would be to stay as a adolescent education major instead of switching to sport management and changing my degree for like the fifth time.
Due to the pandemic, I would say that there is a lot of changes in college life, and it's a lot of adjusting for everyone.
It's been rough. I'm student teaching right now, and I'm completely all online. When the past 3.5 years, I was training to be in-person student teaching.
Since the pandemic, I appreciate face-to-face classes more. As much as I hated waking up early and having to sit in a classroom, I learned better that way. Learning through a screen is a whole different experience from sitting in a classroom. There are so many distractions at home, and I always feel behind on assignments.
Definitely the social aspect. While taking online classes has not affected me in a negative way, the best part of college is getting to meet new people and experiencing different social clubs, sports, and anything that sparks your interest. If there are new social opportunities available at your school, take advantage of those because they are few and far in between now, especially in the COVID era.
This is my first semester back full-time, and having this ability to work and study on my own time and with my own schedule, I definitely enjoy and understand the content a lot more.
The people I ask questions to are named Jesse, Adam, Melanie, Gary, and Amanda. From this interview, we could take away the fact that these students enjoyed their years of college even after COVID changed parts of their overall experiences.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONI Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, March 30th, O Factor 2026 is happening at 8 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. Note, if you wish to vote, you must be present for all acts in order to receive a ballot. On Tuesday, March 31st at 4 p.m., the baseball team plays Hamilton at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. At 9 p.m., Trivia Tuesday will be happening in the Red Dragon Theater in Hunt Union. On Wednesday, April 1st, the baseball team has another game, this time against RPI, again at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. On Thursday, April 2nd, the men's tennis team plays against Union at the Dr. Hayson 63 Tennis Courts at 4 p.m. Also on Thursday at 5:30, the Ola Club is hosting a Slime Your Stress Away event located in Fitzell Room 105. The Empire State Service Corps is looking for students to serve 300 hours of public service next academic year. Gain leadership skills, hands-on experience, and make an impact, all while building your resume. Applications for fall 2026 are now open, with priority deadline being on Friday, April 17th. This has been your WONI Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everyone? DJ Nuss from R2 Rock and Rollin' here. Episode 103. We cranking already here. It is, it's the last day of March. Oh, Lordy. Last day of March, Tuesday, March 31st. I was not here yesterday. Sorry. I wanted to sleep. I wanted the extended vacation, and I took it because I could. So, yeah, let's see. Anything crazy going on this week besides April Fool's, which is tomorrow? I don't know if there's any Actually, I don't even know of anything going on this week. Maybe nothing is going on this week with anybody, and we're just trying to reset from the week off that we had before. I'll try to do a little bit of research and see what is going on this coming weekend. I know last night was O Factor, which is kind of like a battle of the bands for the O Fest thing. So a lot of people were involved in that last night. I'll dig some stuff up and see what's going on this weekend. Oh, Thursday. I should mention this. Thursday is Oneonta had a long tradition of having businesses stay open on Thursday nights. Thursday nights were like the big night in town for Oneonta for many, many, many years, mainly going back from the railroad tradition. A lot of businesses stayed open later. And that is happening this Thursday. So if you're around, you can go downtown. Most businesses that might close at like 4 or 5 are going to stay open till 7 at least. And it's kind of cool. You can go down there and just, hopefully the weather's nice. Their doors will be open. Go check out the downtown stores. Support your local business. Remember, that's the only way to do it when you have mom-and-pop shops on Main Street. You gotta get out there and physically get in there to shop and so forth. So, yeah, they call it First Thursdays, and it starts off this week, this coming Thursday, downtown Oneonta. The wonderful Sarah Simpson is here today. Who's amazing and part of our community here. So I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and talk all things Sarah Simpson and figure out what is going on in her world. Do you know what's going on in your world? Too many things, right? All right, here's a little Richard Dude. We got donated. I only play vinyl, by the way. And they donated a bunch of, a lot of people have been donating vinyl to the show. So this past couple weeks, I've just been going in, digging through the stuff that they donated. And I found some Little Richard. And I love Little Richard. So I'm going to play some Little Richard for everybody. Yo, what's going on? Okay, we're back. I'm going to kill this thing for a second. You always get talking on these things. The whole point is to talk anyways. So we're here with the wonderful Sarah Simpson.
Hello.
There you are. Can you hear yourself fine over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, great. I came into contact with Sarah mainly through Kano, but also... She works up here at SUNY Oneonta. So we're going to get to that later on. I'm going to turn my headphones up a little bit. That's a little better. But what we like to do here on What's in Your Pocket is kind of go back to, I always say conception, but that's probably not. Well, maybe. I'm
surprised that's not on the list.
It's not on the list. Conception's not on the list. So what we want to do is do a background check here and see what's going, see what we got going on entering the studio. And so tell us, Sarah Simpson, where you come from. And let's start with where you were born, what you were doing in your informative childhood years here.
Yeah. So I'm actually fairly local. I was born just outside of Binghamton.
Okay. What's the town? Is there a town?
Glen Aubrey.
Glen Aubrey.
Yeah, very small. Technically, it's a hamlet.
So what makes a hamlet a hamlet?
Population size.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a hamlet, but I went to school in Whitney Point.
Okay, I know Whitney Point.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, well known for field hockey. I played field hockey. I was not good at field hockey.
Okay.
Everyone wanted me to be good at sports, and I was not.
It always seems like it would hurt your shins.
You wear shin guards. Still, you know what happens a lot, though, is the ball will run right up the stick and hit you in the mouth.
Yeah, that does not sound fun either.
A lot of broken teeth.
Broken teeth. One of my sisters played rugby.
Oh.
So there was also a broken face, teeth, those things, like coming back bloody all the time. Interesting, Hamlet.
But yeah, no, Glen Aubrey is cute. It's it's very idyllic.
Is this past Binghamton or before Binghamton if you're coming from Oneonta?
It's a triangle. So usually when I go to my parents' house, I'll go down 80, get off at Bainbridge, go through Bainbridge Green.
Oh, okay, you're going that way.
And that'll give me to Whitney Point, which then gets me home.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it was cute. It was a log cabin. We had a creek in the background.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Right? Do you have chickens?
No. Dogs. German Shepherds.
Shepherds are great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you grow up there. And the whole shebang all the way through high school?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Both my parents moved a lot when they were kids. My dad's lived in every state in the U.S., and he was actually born in Canada. So they were pretty happy to be still for a while.
So do you have dual citizenship? Does he have dual citizenship?
Actually, I'm looking into that right now because Canada's just changed its citizenship rules. So my dad lived there for 7 years, which it sounds like I'm a citizen, so I just have to figure that out. But it comes down to if I want to pay taxes for both countries.
That's right. Tax are higher there, I think.
You know what, though? I support that. And if I could get the health care, I'd be down.
Sure. So. 100%. No. My whole family, the extended family is French-Canadian. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Quebecois. Hey. So, okay. So, when you're in high school, right, besides being somewhat decent, not decent at field hockey...
No, I'm tall, so everyone wanted me to play basketball, and I was even worse at that.
Okay. Small school?
Yeah, yeah. My graduating class was under 100.
Okay. What are you thinking about when you're about to graduate high school?
Well, I was kind of all over the place. I was really bored. So I did everything to try and not be bored. So I did, like, drama club. I did singing. I did art, you know. Did French club, even though I didn't take French. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I almost went to Ithaca College. I had paid my down payment, and then Cornell University got me my financial aid letter, and I decided to go there instead. So I went and actually started as a marine biologist.
Maybe. Oh, same town.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. Moosewood.
Oh, God, yeah. Moosewood and Maxie's. We were just at Maxie's this weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah. I try to get... So I go to Ithaca. Most of my family went to Cornell.
Yeah.
So I try to go there. I try to go twice a year for three specific reasons. Go to the Commons. There's a good bookstore, record store there. And
always.
Your mom. Yeah. And then I go to the Moosewood. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I do when I go to Ithaca is I go to Carl Sagan's grave.
I think I've been there, but I'm pretty sure it was in college, so I don't fully remember.
Sure. So I go twice a year.
That's great.
And I go stand by. He's my hero.
I love
so
that.
I'm like, oh, Carl Sagan, I love you. And then and then I go eat, and then I go record shopping. It's like a thing.
This sounds like a great day. Do you go to hiking at all? I mean, like, hiking's a big deal in Ithaca.
No, it's funny. I don't. I mean, it's like, because it's like, you look at it, and you, I mean, I did when I was younger, you know, and it's just like, man, this is like... Yeah, I don't want to walk all the way up that mountain.
Well, it's also anymore. It's like you wait in line to walk up the mountain.
Yeah.
It's so busy.
If you go to the Carl Sagan's, the graveyard that it's in, it's already up. Like, if you park at the bottom of it, you're already winded by the time you get up there. I mean, it's crazy. It's
is
on,
it the
like,
one
a giant
at Buttermilk
hill.
Falls?
It, you know, I don't know the name of it. To
but
be
it's
honest
sort
with
of
you.
Like between campus and town.
Yeah, but and it's crazy. It's on yeah. like a giant hill.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Bet. Yeah.
When I was, I used to work at the Autumn Cafe.
Yeah.
And if you look out the back deck of it, there's looking towards like Southside.
Yeah.
There is a graveyard that's in the back of what the church is by City Hall. It's up on a hill. And we used to always have these crazy dreams where like it was flooding. And then all the caskets would be coming out of the side of the mountain. So every time I see like a graveyard on some kind of hill, I'm like, oh, it's going to rain and all the bodies are going to be floating down the whatever.
I'm pretty sure that's happened somewhere.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't happen in Oneonta.
No.
Okay, so you go to Cornell. That's a great school. And you must have gotten a decent package there because that's expensive, right?
It is expensive. I got 4 years for the price of one, which still put me in a ton of debt.
Hey, yeah. Well, I mean... But it's a good school.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had a great time. I loved Cornell.
Cool. And you went 4 years?
All 4 years, yeah.
You started marine biology.
Yeah, but the nice thing about Cornell is you don't have to declare a major until the end of your sophomore year, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was in School of Liberal Arts and Sciences, and I started as marine biologist, and then I switched to, I ended up double majoring in archaeology and art history, because I was like drawing, I was a big art kid, but I never thought I was... gonna be an artist like mm-hmm. I wanted to be, but it just never felt like the thing.
Yep.
And I took an art history class for fun and loved it and found out I was good at it and learned that there was such a thing as a curator, which I had never heard of before because I grew up in Whitney Point and yep. Neither of my parents are big into art. So yeah, and I doubled in part because I also really liked archaeology, but my mom was also worried that I wasn't gonna be able to find a job with art history. So,
yeah, right.
Oh, but I did have a brief moment of wanting to be an anthropologist between those two.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Those are all very fun things.
Yeah. All hard to find a job in, actually. All four.
That's right. Especially anything with the arts. Yeah, it's funny because when you think of Cornell, I guess I think of... Where am I from?
There's engineering, architecture, veterinary sciences,
yeah.
Are the big three.
And those are the big three, which you generally make money someone in those things. You can, or
yes.
Engineering, yes.
Engineering for sure, vet for sure.
Yeah.
Architecture, you know, you speak to architects, they never think they're making enough money.
Yeah.
But well. They're definitely making more than me, so.
Yes. They're probably making more than both of us combined.
Yeah, I think so.
We love you, SUNY Oneonta.
So much.
Yeah, so much. Okay, so 4 years, and we had I had mentioned this before, Moosewood. Did you go to the Moosewood a lot?
Of course. Moosewood, the DeWitt Cafe was a favorite.
Yeah,
the Carriage House before they closed.
Okay.
And then what was that grad bar that burned down and had all the popcorn? I loved that spot.
It wasn't the Haunt, no.
No. It was,
Did you go to the Haunt?
No, I never went to the Haunt.
Okay.
We didn't go down into town much. That was kind of the closest we got into town. So this bar was on the hill towards town.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but they burned down and there were so much popcorn kernels in there that corn started growing afterwards, like out of the ground.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So the thing dreams are made of.
Yep. But CTB, obviously, Maxie's.
Yeah, Maxie's.
CTB is my big go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. While you're there for 4 years, anything else happen that was
life-changing? I mean, life-changing. Yeah. So part of archaeology, you have to do a dig. So I was specializing... Well, actually, no, I was just taking a class in biblical archaeology, and I'm not religious. But I ended up going to Palestine and doing a dig in the Beit Shean Valley.
That's pretty sweet.
It was really cool. So that was, it was supposed to be 6 weeks, but I was lifeguarding at home over the summers and they told me I wouldn't have a job if I stayed for 6 weeks. So I ended up staying for four.
Wow. Was that in Whitney Point?
Out towards Glen Aubrey. So it was a county park.
Glen Aubrey being.
Well, at the time the money felt really important. And now in retrospect, I wish I had stayed for 6 weeks.
They're like, no lifeguard for you. No soup for you.
Yeah, no, no. but no, it was really cool. Like I dug, you know, it was 6,000 years old. So you're seeing pottery shards people haven't seen
for
6,000
years. That's so crazy, right?
You could see a burn layer from when the Assyrians had come in and burned the town down.
Wild.
Went to Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. Yeah, it
was so much history.
So much history.
It's crazy. I am also non-religious, but took a bunch of religious studies classes in college because I thought they were so fascinating.
So interesting.
I was like, this is amazing. Like, once again, because it's so going back for so far, you know. Super cool. Yeah. So you go on this, you go on the dig, right? And so you graduate.
Yep, yep. Well, before I graduated, I also had an internship at the Whitney. So they were big on internships at Cornell.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
So the dig was between my sophomore and junior years. The Whitney was between my junior and senior years.
During the summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I graduated and I had, like, I think $1,000 left from student loans in my bank account and an internship lined up in New York. And I moved to New York. I found a cheap apartment in Brooklyn, $600 a month, which even then was cheap.
Where in Brooklyn?
Flatbush.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, I ended up walking my roommate's dog and got it down to $400 a month.
That's super cheap.
Yeah.
What year is this?
This was 2012.
Okay. Yeah. So that's cheap.
Yeah, I know. There was a hole in the wall of my bedroom that I stuffed a scarf into.
Yes. I mean, okay, that checks. Because that area is still, was it a little?
It's gentrifying pretty quickly now.
Yeah,
it was just starting then.
Is it by, right by Bushwick? Is it by Bushwick?
No, wrong part of Brooklyn. Where this was on the southwest side of the park, of Prospect Park.
Oh, it's on the southwest. Okay, I'm just trying to, okay, so you're on, you're
near Flatbush Avenue, and it's, there's tennis courts down there. It's not.
What's the streets there? Like, what were some of the cross?
I mean, the street I lived on was Woodruff Avenue.
Okay.
But Flatbush is the big street. So, like, you've got the park, right? And you've got Crown Heights sort of on the north and along the east. And then you've got Park Slope and South Slope.
Yes, and I know Park Slope somewhat well. Yeah.
So it's, if you keep going through the park, it's sort of down there.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it was great. And I interned at this place called Brick, which you'd like. They do a free concert series in the park every summer. They have music. They have a media station, dance, art, which is where I was, theater. And ended up working there off and on for the next 10 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And it was like a bit of a sort of all over the place journey, but I kept coming back to them. And then I also had another internship at the Whitney. I ended up giving them a year of unpaid labor, and then they wouldn't even interview me for a job.
Wow.
And it's not like I was bad. I mean, they kept asking me to come back for free, so they it's good enough for that.
They're like, we don't need to offer anything. Just
keep
coming
back. Well, the issue with curation, especially in New York, especially at Cornell, is that most of the people doing it were independently wealthy.
And the Whitney's huge.
The Whitney's huge.
I mean, it's huge. That's a huge. I mean, if you.
This was before they moved, though, to their new location. This was back when they were still on the Upper East Side.
Okay, where are they now?
They're in Chelsea.
Okay, this I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
They've got a beautiful Renzo Piano building at the end of the High Line.
Oh.
Technically, Meatpacking, not Chelsea.
Okay.
Which is funny because to pay the bills, I was working at a nightclub, and the new building for the Whitney, I watched it getting built while I was working at the nightclub.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
My daughter just, like, she's in the very west of Greenwich Village right now. Mm. She just moved. She was on Avenue B and E6th.
I love that area.
That area. I loved it over there just because it's kind of, like, grungy. Like
it's grungy, which is hard to find.
It is. And I loved it. There was a record store, like a block away. It was, like, I loved it. I mean, her apartment was okay, but the one in Greenwich is super nice.
I mean, Greenwich is beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you did the upgrade thing, kid, which is super cool. But she's still down there, and I love it. I love, you know, I had a lot of friends, family, and stuff live in various parts of Brooklyn and Queens. So whenever I went down, I would either be in, like, Astoria or Bayside, Bay Ridge, these places. Yeah. And these are more...
Good food places.
Good food places and more residential, you know, so you're just kind of hanging out. But my daughter was down... where was she? She was in Bushwick. And then she finally... She decided to move to Manhattan. I was like, that's cool. And now I love it. Now I'm just like, I wasn't a huge Manhattan fan for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was like, but now I love it.
Yeah, I always, I used to call myself a reluctant Brooklynite. But by the end, I loved Brooklyn more than Manhattan. But I really wanted to be in the city. And my best friend, both of my best friends, it's weird to say, I have like five best friends. they both lived in the city. So I was always there. Like one lives on the Upper East Side out towards, you know, Third. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was down in, she was in Tribeca for a minute. She was in Chinatown for a minute. She was in the East Village for a minute. Now she's in LA. But
which I love LA. Do you like LA?
I like LA. I almost moved out there.
Yeah, I love it. So, if I wasn't here, I'd be there.
Well, right before COVID, I was... working at Brick, actually freelancing for them, doing PR. And I took a trip, like a week. I flew out to L.A. and stayed there for a few days, took the train down to San Diego to visit a friend, picked up a car on the border, and then drove all the way up to Portland, basically.
One. Highway one? Did you take-
No, I wanted to. That was my original plan.
Yeah.
But everyone told me there was no way that was going to happen in a week.
Oh,
because it's so, you know, swirly.
It is, yeah.
So I took the big, bad highway.
Oh, okay.
Which was grim at parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you pass the cow fields. Those are grim.
Grim.
Oh, yeah. The smell.
Yeah.
You can feel the depression from the cows. And I eat meat, but I don't like the way we treat animals.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I
should think about not eating meat, but anyway.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Okay, so, wow, you're in this city for 10 years.
10 years. I took a break. So it was 10 years cumulatively. So I was there for 3, and then I went to grad school in London.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's not just like...
No. That was fun, too.
Okay, so what? Where'd you go? Where was this?
So the school I went to is called University College London, which is a very redundant name. It's because it used to be called the College of London, and then University of London bought's not the right term. I think they just centralized.
Okay.
So this particular one became University College London. Everyone calls it UCL.
University College.
Yeah. So I went there. I got a master's degree in art history. And... yeah, it was actually the same price to go there than it would have been to do grad school here, including flight, living, everything, because it was a year sort of intensive program as opposed to the 2 years we typically do here.
And what was the program in?
Art history.
Oh, art history. Okay, yeah. Very cool. Did you like it over there?
Yeah, yeah. London's not my favorite city. I liked it. I did not have enough money to really enjoy it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I like...
And it seems like if you're doing it in a year, that's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. I mean, the classes were great. I took some really interesting classes. I took a class on 17th and 18th century French medical art. I took a class on art and architecture in Germany between the two world wars. I learned a lot. Like, I feel like I could feel my brain expanding, which sounds really weird, but it was a huge leap ahead.
Yeah.
But what I really liked it for was how easy it is to travel from London, because A, their train system is amazing, and B, it's so central, and you can find cheap flights. So, like, I would take a Ryanair flight for $20 from London to Italy.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So the reason I didn't have money, I had saved a bunch of money. Oh, my God. You know, because I was working in this nightclub, I was making like $600 to $800 a night in tips, and because it was a nightclub / members only lounge and meatpacking. Have you heard of the Standard?
No.
Okay, so the club I was working at is the top of the Standard or Le Bon. I worked at both. They're both at the top of the same hotel. So I didn't spend a lot of money in New York because I was living in this incredibly cheap apartment, and I don't do a lot. You know, I would go to museums, but
that's donate whatever you want. Yes.
Exactly. Plus, as a museum intern, I got in for free.
Yeah, right.
And I was at the Whitney that whole time. So Yeah, so I didn't spend much money beyond like going out with friends. So I had saved enough, and then I took out some more loans, and I kept all that money to travel. So I didn't go out in London. I mean, I went out, but I didn't go to nice places.
Yeah.
But I traveled. I went to Italy. I went to Germany. I went to France a lot. I went to Morocco. I went to Ireland. I went to Scotland. I almost went to Portugal. I regret not going to Portugal.
You've done a lot.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've been having a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One year over there, so art history, right? And then mm-hmm. you come back.
And then I come back to the city, and I stayed through COVID pretty much.
Okay.
So I come back to the city, can't find a job for the life of me. Reach out to my old contacts from the nightclub, and there's a new club opening up in the East Village called Mr. Purple.
That's a great name.
Yeah. It was actually named after a neighborhood, like Icon. The club wasn't great. It was okay. And so I got in on the ground floor there as they opened up doing hostessing and stuff like that, which was fine. And finally got a job at a for-profit gallery, hated, left within a year for a PR firm, which was shockingly even worse. Quit without a job from that within a year for a lot of reasons. And that's when Brick took me back.
And Brick.
Yep, my old mentor at Brick gave me a job as a gallery attendant, which paid almost nothing, but, you know, better than nothing. And, then eventually I did some curatorial work with her. Like, the curatorial assistant went on maternity leave, so I took over her job while she was on leave. And I took my PR skills, and I was doing freelancing PR, and that was really paying the bills more than anything. And then my friend in marketing left for another job, and they asked me to fill in as a favor. So I was only supposed to be there for a year. 3 years later, COVID hits, and they tell me, you know, I was part-time filling her job, part-time doing a bunch of freelancing, which I liked, but they told me they couldn't guarantee my job if I was part-time, so I came on full-time. And then I think a year into COVID, we were almost at the end of it, and they fired the entire marketing team.
yeah.
So, like, I got on full-time to be guaranteed a job, and then, you know, they let us all go. And I didn't know what to do. I was a little freaked. Came home. I had been sort of loosely dating my now husband.
Was this at Whitney Point?
Yeah. So he grew up in Shenango Forks, Shenango Valley area.
Shenango Forks.
Turns out we've known each other since we were five, which neither of us knew. We were in a dance class together.
That's crazy. We were in a dance class.
Yeah.
Shenango.
You know it.
So I was like... Side story here is back when the weed was illegal, which is legal now.
I know.
Which is totally insane.
I know.
There was a local person who lived in Shenango and that would be very kind and courteous and bring some trees with him to the Oneonta area. But it was called the Shenango Bango.
God.
Shout out to all the people who know Shenango Bango, y'all, back when it was like, oh, man, that's crazy. Okay, so I think this is a good spot for me to play a song.
Sounds good.
And then we're going to take over from you meet the...
The husband.
The love of your life. And then you're here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm playing... I don't even know what I'm playing. I know what I'm playing. Some Bob Dylan.
Yes, perfect.
I'm playing some Bob Dylan. And we'll be right back in like 3 or 4 minutes with the awesome and amazing SS.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood. When blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
Not a word was spoke between us. There was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail. Poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there. With silver bracelets on her wrist and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on an uneventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Well, the deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a feudal horn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove. And old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
We back. Bob Dylan, Shelter from the Storm. That Blood on the Tracks is one of my favorite albums. I absolutely adore it. Okay, so we left off, right, with you moving back home
mm-hmm.
after the COVID thing,
mm-hmm.
right, to Whitney Point area.
Yep.
Right, and what's going on here? What from there till now, right? What's going downtown?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, so I lost my job, and I stayed in New York for about another month just to, like, enjoy it and say goodbye. And I think I turned 30 30 during COVID, which sucked.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been dating my now husband, and which I thought was kind of weird because I was like, does he know that I live in Brooklyn and not in Binghamton? But, you know, yeah. We were dating a little bit. It was cute. Yeah. And
it was cute.
Yeah, it was cute. And I come up, and I think I came up for a visit, and we went out on a date, and we got COVID together.
Oh, that's adorable.
Adorable and terrible, though, because 100%. my dad had cancer at the time, was going through chemo. He's fine now. And my brother had recently been diagnosed with MS.
Oh.
And I bring COVID into the house. And we had all been good. And, of course, I don't get COVID in New York. I get COVID in Whitney Point. Brian got COVID. My brother ended up being fine. He didn't have a recession. My dad miraculously didn't get it. Don't know how. My mom got it, but she wasn't unwell, so she was fine. But, yeah, so Justin is my husband, we quarantined together in his apartment because he lives alone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so for a week it was just us. And the kind of, it was a bit of a rough week. You know, we both had COVID. There were beautiful moments, like us eating Indian food and not being able to taste anything. And
oh, you had the no tasty things?
Oh, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I didn't have that ever. I mean, I had got COVID 6 times, but never had the no tasty thing.
Oh, I had the no tasty thing the first time. I think I got 2 or 3 times. But yeah, no, we ordered Indian food from this great spot, which is now closed in Binghamton, which is heartbreaking. And the woman loved us because we got the hottest vindaloo. And we ate it, and she was like, how was it? And we're like, it was great because we couldn't taste anything, including spiciness. And so she insisted on giving us the spiciest thing from then on, and we had to pretend like we could handle it.
Oh, yeah, right.
We ate it. We could handle it, but it was too spicy for us.
Yeah.
But she was so pleased with it. Like, she remembered us, and we couldn't let her down. So anyway, yeah. So I figured if I didn't kill him in that week, then I think it was meant to be.
Yeah, sure.
So I end up moving back home, moved pretty much right in with him. And, we moved really quickly after that. Within a year, I was doing a lot of freelancing, writing where I could, just trying to pay the bills while I looked for a job. I was on unemployment because of the way it had happened.
Yeah.
And just trying to, I don't know, figure out my next steps. And I found a listing for the job here, and I applied, and I got it, which was really cool.
That's amazing. And what year was this? Did you come?
I came in 2021.
Okay, in 2021.
Yeah, so I started in July of 2021, right before we all came back.
Very cool.
Yeah. And, I think my weird mixture of skills helped because it's me in the gallery. I've got a part-time admin assistant, Katie. Hey, Katie.
Yo, Katie. Shout out.
And interns, obviously.
Yep.
A couple of great interns every semester. And, but beyond that, it's just me. So I do sort of like marketing. I do all of our install. I do all the curation.
Yep.
So like my history of experience was good because it was broad. But yeah, so took the job, moved up here. And then not long after that, Justin proposed in Costa Rica, which was fun.
Oh.
At the top of a very brutal hike, which was a lot more intense than he was expecting it to be.
Was y'all sweaty and gross?
We both were. We were sweaty. We were bloodless. Yeah, and like this girl walked up right after us, and she got some great pictures and a video because, he did the whole like, oh, we'll take a picture of us with the view kind of thing.
Yeah. Sneaky.
And then we go down. It's into it. We hiked up a caldera. So we hiked down to the lake. And everyone there was like so excited, and we were like the talk of the small hiking group at the because the girl had gone ahead of us.
That's very adorable.
It was really cute, but everyone was like, "You brought no food?" It was a huge hike. We didn't even have water, and they were like, "What's wrong with you?"
Yeah,
I blame the hostel guy. He's the one who told us about the hike, and he made it sound very chill.
Yo, hostel guy, gotta get you on my show.
He was. Read me out. He was exactly what you'd expect a hostel guy in Costa Rica to be.
Sure. I have one of my really good friends is in Costa Rica right now. She graduated from here, but she lives like there half the year and tells me some crazy Costa Rica stories.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's what she says. So it's amazing. Okay. So you get the job here. So tell us over the past, 5 years, right? Yeah. Tell us about the job. Tell us some of the amazing things that you've been able to partake in. Tell us some of in your favorite moments, and then maybe we can get into what's going on this term.
Yeah, yeah. So, 5 years, which is crazy. So I'm the gallery director. I run, we have three galleries here. The Martin Mullen is our biggest. It's 2,000 square feet. We do 6 shows a year in it.
Yep.
And then we've got the Project Space Gallery, which right now is pretty much exclusively for student shows. We do the Jane Parrish Scholarship Show. We do 4 Project Open Call shows a year. Those are students can apply with either a solo show, a group show, or with work for a potential group show. We do an Art Across Campus show. So for anyone who's not an art student, who's a faculty member listening, and you do creative final projects, that is an opportunity for your students to get into the gallery. It's for any class outside of the art department.
Cool.
And then we've got, so there's 6 shows in the project space every year. And then we've got the Open Space Gallery, which also used to have 6 shows. And after the first couple of years, I was drowning. So
yeah.
For a couple of reasons, not the least of which being, you know, what I can get done in a day, I've turned it into a mural space. So
that's where James's stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
so
like, yeah.
It's an annual mural. So James was our first.
Yep.
And he painted it last February. That was up for a calendar year. It got painted over this past break. And now our art historian, Alyssa Walls, is making more of an installation in the space.
Cool.
So if you're in arts, come by, check it out. It's a cool setup. You can walk on the grass. You can sit on the couch. It's a good time.
I love that area. I had a show. We did some musical shows in that little...
Oh, yeah?
I guess you would call it a...
Lobby, I think it's
atrium or whatever, like the thing in the middle.
Oh, the courtyard.
The courtyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did some rock shows in there, which is cool. Aesthetically.
Yeah. Sound must be terrible, though.
Oh, just keeps bouncing back and forth between the things. I also know that area very well because they have the coconut shrimp sometimes at the openings, right? Coconut shrimp.
That must have been Tim. I get the same thing.
No, they always had coconut shrimp for a long time, so I was like, oh, they got the coconut shrimp out. But then people would, it would filter over to the music department, and we would all, run over there and be like, oh, the shrimp, man.
Tim got, there was a bit of a downsizing in what we got for, events funding after COVID. So Tim used to put on a whole spread, my predecessor. My big thing right now is meatballs. Everyone seems to like the meatballs.
The meatballs are good too.
Who doesn't like meatballs?
Yeah, but it was just funny because literally somebody would run down the hallways and be like, yo, coconut shrimp's rolling. We'd be like, oh man, let's just see the art. Like,
that's the way to do it though. Like, that's the way to do it.
Oh yeah, we used to have little jazz bands play and stuff like that too. So there's some.
I'm working with Joe on that.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah. That's been one of those things for the past 5 years I've been talking about and thinking about and wanting to bring back and just not managed it. And now I think Joe and I have figured it out.
Cool. That's amazing. Okay. So you got these three. So the Martin Mullen, which is every time I see it, I'm like, I think of Martin Mull, who's a comedian.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's named after 2 old faculty members. So Jim Mullen, who was the first director.
This is important to know.
Yep. First director, who is also our print teacher, who's still alive. He's living in Endwell.
Endwell. He's probably got some rugs.
Probably. That was a deep cut joke.
This is a deep cut audio. Yo, you caught a rug, buddy.
And then Minnie Mullen, who has passed.
Minnie Mullen.
Yeah.
That is an amazing name.
I know.
Oh, Minnie.
Or is it? No, Minnie Martin.
Oh, Minnie Martin. Minnie Martin.
Jim Mullen, Minnie Martin.
Okay, Minnie Martin, still a great name.
Still a great name. And I think she taught painting.
Okay.
Sculpture.
So that's interesting. I did not know that was a joint.
Yeah, we had, before my time, there was a very generous anonymous donation, and they wanted to name it after some faculty members to sort of highlight the importance of the faculty.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that's when you come into the Fine Arts Building from whatever road that
Ravine, is. Ravine, Parkway, or even the courtyard if you walk across the catwalk.
Yeah, that's on the left there when you come in the door.
Across
and then
from Hamlin.
The outside of that, between the courtyard and that, is the Open Space Gallery.
Yep.
And then if you go through the doors, in the back is the student.
Yeah, the project space.
The project space. Okay, it's, so just so people know where these things are.
Yeah. No, it's a little hard to find. They used to be able to prop open the doors, but fire code.
Yeah.
We don't want the whole building to burn down.
That's correct.
Yep.
Although if they burnt the whole building down, we'd get a new one.
God, I hope so. Because the heating in that building, the AC.
So that's what I was going to talk about. Do you know the people that are walking around now? They're redoing a bunch of the HVAC stuff. Have you seen them?
The La Bella people?
Yeah.
Yeah, one just showed up in my gallery with a 3D camera. No forewarning, which is very unlike.
Crazy, Yeah.
Usually we get a heads up. I was a little surprised.
So, yeah, with us, and we love you, Sudiana, by the way. But, you know, the music department, so there are old parts of the building, new parts of the building, whatever, and my office at times would be 78 to 82 degrees.
That's nothing.
With the humidity being at some kind of crazy number, and then the hallway would be 61 degrees with no humidity.
No, you want to hear what the art side is like?
What?
Because you guys are the better side, just so you know.
That's insane.
No. My office, I'm lucky because I'm in an office that used to be a kitchen that has no external facing walls, so it's very temperate, although there's absolutely no airflow. No, the art faculty offices right now are verging on 90. In the summer, they're 100 plus. They've put thermometers in there to clock it.
That's crazy.
We've had students faint.
Does everybody hear this?
Yeah, no. It's really
We love
really,
you, Sunioniana.
It's really bad.
Hey, by the way, we're working on this.
Well, we are. Everyone's aware. It's very much like a big thing. Like, shout out to Demon Jay and Lachlan. Like, we know you're trying. We know the whole school is unfortunately at that age where everything is starting to break at the same time.
Yeah, well, they also, one of the big problems I know on our side is that there's like three different systems.
Yeah.
And they're not connected.
Well, yeah, and the HVAC that services the gallery, my brother is so good with HVAC systems. He's an engineer, and he, like, explained it to me, and it went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
But the coil broke. So now there's no AC in the gallery. So I'm, like, doing lights 11 feet up in the air in the summer for our summer show, which we do with the ARC.
No.
And I'm literally sweating out of my knees. And I'm not a sweater.
The old knee sweater over there.
It was gross.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Knee sweat.
But, I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough
This
building.
Is episode 103, subtitled Knee Sweat.
Please. So ladylike.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So you do. So this is amazing. So you run all these things. So tell us about what's going on this
semester?
Yeah, like what's going on soon? What's coming up soon here?
Well, we just opened the Juried Student Show.
There we go.
Big annual student show in the Martin Mullen. We've got 90 plus works by 70 plus students spanning freshmen to seniors. We also have a bunch of awards. I'm still working on labels. I'm a little behind on that. I've been sick, so apologies to everybody. And for students listening, award emails are going out this week if you got an award.
Super cool.
So cool. We got a lot of generous donations to allow us to give up to like $3,000 in awards.
That's awesome.
And so that's up through May 3rd. Okay. And the reception is going to be April 30th. So we've actually combined the reception with the Art History Symposium Day this year. So it'll be April 30th will be the Art History Symposium during the bulk of the day, and then the reception from 5 to 7.
That's a Thursday.
The String Quartet is playing.
Oh, great. Nice. Awesome. String Quartet's great.
They're great. And then this is the last week to see a student group show in the Project Space Gallery called Printmaking, Community, and Expression. It's a great four-person show that the students curated all by themselves. They did an amazing job.
Sweet.
And then this closes. We got a week for install. And then after that, we've got Change is the Only Constant, which is a three-person student self-curated show, which includes Anjali.
Oh, very awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Anjali.
Exactly. So that'll be opening soon. And let me look up the reception date for that because that's not coming to the top of my mind. But what else do we have? Dr. Alyssa Walls is doing a really impressive installation in the open space, which we talked about a little bit.
Yep.
And then we actually, tomorrow night, so we've started doing events with other campus entities, like where we can. So we've been working with English and the Red Dragon Reading Series.
Oh.
So tomorrow night, I think starting at 7, Alan Shapiro is doing a reading in the Martin Mullen.
Very cool.
For the English department. So come by. It's going to be a great night. You can see art. You can listen to some great literature. And
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. I think there's going to be food. Everyone likes food.
That could be April Fool's.
Yep.
Or not.
Okay, so the Change is the Only Constant opens on April 14th, and the reception is April 16th.
Cool.
So that'll be a good show.
And all this can be found on, what's the media and or websites that all this could be?
Our Instagram is at SUNY O Galleries. We post everything there. Facebook is SUNY Oneonta Galleries. And then our website is...
It's out SUNY Oneonta, right?
Yeah, it's sunyoneonta.edu/art galleries, I think. But cool. If you just search SUNY Oneonta art galleries, it'll pop up.
Super cool. So before we, these interviews always go super fast. Before we wrap up everything, there's another thing that, because from when I met you, it's Ducano.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We haven't really, maybe we crossed paths here, but not like anything serious, right?
A little bit at City of the Hills, but sort of like really, both of us were in the middle of something kind of thing.
That's right. So are you on the board now? No.
Yeah.
Oh, you are
yeah,
on the board. Yeah. I'm always like, hey, I'm on the board. I've been so busy, so my role of...
I feel like we haven't had a meeting.
We haven't in a little bit, and I also... It's been tough for me because I've been... when the meetings were, I have class.
Yeah, so that's a toughie.
That's my problem. So I'm on a... I told Hope, who's amazing, our director.
Love Hope. Shout out to Hope.
Yep, that... I probably wouldn't be able to make the meetings, but I basically just do the music stuff, so I'm kind of self... contained on that anyways. Yeah. But you joined Arcano board, which is which is awesome to have you. And tell us about what you want to do or what you're doing for the Kano.
Yeah, so it started with City of the Hills. So we get a table at City of the Hills now, and we typically bring Nathan Osman. He comes for music, and then John Bagby comes for theater, myself, and usually Wesley Bernard, one of our our photography professor. And, we go with takeaway art, things that people can do, sort of fun, friendly things to spread the word about SUNY and, just get ourselves down there a little bit more. We bring students, always. We tag them with us. And, then we do a collaborative show with Hartwick at Kano in the fall. We started that a few years ago, so that was another thing that got me in there. So, and then there's been talk of another potential future show, which I'm not going to give details on the off chance that it doesn't round out. But yeah, mostly I want to be more a part of Kano. I want to be more a part of the community. I want to get students down there more. Like we've had students selling their art at the Kano, arts and craft sales and fairs and festivals.
Yeah, we have students playing down there all the time, like music-wise, too, and they help out with the Chili Bowl. That was awesome that a lot of the fraternity sorority members came down and helped out with that and volunteer as well. So, super cool.
Yeah.
Sarah Simpson, everyone.
Hey.
Who's awesome. And go check out all the art openings and check out the art gallery. And... So last question. You ready?
Yeah.
Favorite restaurant in Oneonta? This is what I always like to ask this. What's your favorite restaurant in Oneonta?
I'm going to go with a classic. It's got to be Autumn Cafe.
Wow.
Yeah. I love their bar. I love sitting at the bar. There's a woman who's...
Yeah.
My husband's the name person, so I guarantee you he knows her name. But she's amazing. She makes the best cocktails. And yeah.
I wonder if it was Naomi or Rebecca.
It's an older woman. Longer hair.
Gray hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Naomi.
Naomi. Love her.
Good friend. So I worked there as a chef for 20 years.
I love that.
At the Autumn.
Of course you cook, too.
What's that?
I said, of course you cook, too.
Yeah, you got me when you're a musician. You got to. Yeah. During my summer, because I didn't work here in the summers, right? So during the summers, I would work there for 20 years. I grew up in that in that restaurant. 97 to 2017 or something. 2016 is when
That's a long time.
It's a long time. A rock and roll, everybody. I will be back tomorrow. I don't think I have a guest, but it's Wednesday, and it's April Fool's, and it's hump day, y'all. We love hump day. So I'm going to leave off with a little Stevie Wonder, and I hope everybody has an absolutely wonderful day. It's going to be in the 60s, a little rainy out, but, hey, we'll take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Simpson, you rock.
Oh, you rock. Thanks.
As around the sun, the earth does seem revolving. In the rosebuds, know the bloom in early May. Just as
Satan knows love's the cure. You can rest your mind sure that I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, you know what I say is true.
Makes me the past for that.